As we sit around the table, our family heads bowed low, my thoughts return to childhood and the finest man I know. He didn't speak good English. He was just a simple man. But when he talked to the Lord, even a little child could understand. I was young and reckless, but the thought still comes to me when I told my dad I felt I was old enough to leave. He sat there at the table, and a look come on his face, but he never spoke another word till he said the table grace. He said, "Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're all gathered here today to give thee praise and thanks for our blessings, so humbly we pray. My only son is leaving. I'm sure he knows what's best, but just in case, will you stand by him and help him stand the test? Lord, he's awful forgetful about church on Sunday morning. And if he gets with the wrong crowd, will you let him hold your arm? And if he flies too high, Lord, would you clip his wings? But don't let him fall too hard. I'm sure, Lord, you'll handle things. Lord, I've tried my best from day to day to teach him right from wrong, and he's grown to be a fine young man and always blessed our home. We pray thee, Lord, for guidance, that he won't build upon the sand. And, Lord, we won't worry half as much knowing he's in your hand. And, oh, yes, Lord, it won't be long till I'll be coming home. Until then, Lord, I'll continue praying for guidance and cleansing from all sin so we can all be together in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen." The table was silent as tears run down my face. And from that day, I have based my life on Father's table grace. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had more mothers and fathers and sons and daughters that understood that prayer? Prayed a prayer similar to that today. You think it might have an impact on America? You think it might have an impact on your children? Somebody has prayed a prayer similar to that for Philip, or he wouldn't have been up here tonight giving that testimony. Some of our children don't know who their father is or don't know who their mother is. We see them in school every day. One little boy comes up to me, and I've been kind to him, and he will come up to me and put his little head on my shoulders. He's about 4 years old. And he'll say, "Pastor Gill, I'd love to see my mom and dad again." And I said, "You will." His mom and dad are incarcerated for drug use. I'm so fortunate that my dad lived a life that demonstrated the principles of praying in faith. I'm so glad that I can stand here tonight and remember my father sitting back there and being called on to pray. And he would pray, "Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name." And at the conclusion, he'd say, "You know I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen and amen." And after he had passed and God spoke to me, I realized that that scripture that he was quoting was from Mark 12:30. It's also in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 6. But when my dad and I worked together, he was a fireman, and on his days off, he and I fished commercially. And he taught me everything I ever knew about fishing. But my father had time for me. But I would always say, Dad, when are we going to eat? And he'd say, Gib, how many times have I told you? Mark it down, 12:30. And little did I know that years and years would go by, my dad would pass away, but the message that he left me was Mark 12:30. If you had that to happen in your life, would you believe that it was a kindness that God was showing to a grieving son? Mark 12:30. I think my father was the kind of a man that most of you would like to have as your father. And many of you do. And the ones in here tonight who are fathers can begin your discipline in your Christian walk by including the principles of this prayer that I just recited for you. The third of the principles that I wanted to address tonight is don't expect God to hear and answer your prayer when there's known sin in your life. This is the one that is probably the hardest for most Christians to overcome. And why, I don't know. Other than that they are not sufficiently disciplined in prayer. They either are not sufficiently disciplined, they've never actually taken the time to make that a study where that they would have the knowledge and the expertise to actually be able to pray. And if they have, then they forget the principles. If you're going to speak to God about a serious problem, the first place to start is to look in the mirror, and if you see yourself looking at you, that's the man to start. Lord, it's not my brother nor my sister in need of prayer, it's me. And one of the principles about praying is we are told that we are to pray for one another, and we do a lot of that, but we're also told that we are to pray for ourselves. And if you dig through the scriptures and find those principles, you'll become a stronger person when you can actually get on your knees and pray to God in heaven on your own behalf, knowing that he has searched you, and if there have been any evil ways in you, he's removed them. And then you ask. I'm not going to have time to complete the additional four principles. I don't know if Kelly has them on the computer or not. Yes, there they are. Pray with correct motives. Pray to establish communications. Pray in the Spirit. Pray prayer supported by the Word. Maybe at a future time, God willing, we'll have an opportunity to visit those. Those are mighty important principles. The seven principles that we've talked about tonight make up the discipline of prayer. The last one up there is the one that I want you to really consider, and that is you need to become proficient in the scripture so that you know in the Bible where Jesus has promised. For example, John 8, chapter 8 in John. I love this. I don't know if I have it marked, but I'm going to find it for you. John 8. If you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. if you receive nothing out of tonight's message, other than that if you are going to be a disciplined Christian, then you need to know what the six disciplines are, and you need to know what the principles that support those disciplines are, so that when you're finished with your study, it can be said of you, there's a man or a woman that knows God. They are sufficient, proficient in the Word. And I like this. Here's another one that different translations say it a little differently. And here's the one I like. If you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed. In other words, what he's saying is, if you're disciplined in my word, you are my disciple indeed. Unless you are disciplined in his word, you're not a disciple. You are a Christian if you've been born again. But everybody isn't disciples. You know why? Everybody isn't baseball players. Most people won't pay the price. Do you realize how long and hard it is to become an expert in anything? Music, education, medicine, aeronautics, playing the piano. I've heard people say, I'd give anything if I could play the piano like Vincent did tonight. Well, I say, give me $5 and I'll show you how to do that. But if you really want to know how to play the piano, it takes years and years, unless God gives you an unusual talent. And he has some people. And then here's what I like. If you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed. And instead of putting "an" in there, put the word "then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I hear people all the time, they throw it at you. Well, if you know the truth, it'll set you free. Most sinners use that. Well, if you know the truth. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I mean, they can quote that one. Like they can quote this one. God helps those that help themselves. That's not in the Bible either. But I hear it quoted every once in a while. But what it really says, if you are disciplined in my word, then you are my disciple indeed. And guess what? Then you will know the truth. And the truth will say, what is the truth? Well, according to the scripture, the truth is the word. Well, what is the word? According to the scripture, the word is Jesus Christ. Well, who's Jesus Christ? According to the word, he's God. So if you're disciplined in your Christian walk, guess what you'll know? You'll know God. And you'll have a personal relationship with him. Now, if I wanted to succeed in any discipline in life, whether it be a brain surgeon or supervisor of some local city operation, I would love on my credentials to say he's disciplined in Christianity, and he knows God personally. And anytime you want somebody to introduce you to Jesus, go see Gil, because he knows him. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't that make you feel like traveling on? Well, that's the promise in here. In fact, I'm going to close tonight by asking you just to do one thing for me. I'm going to ask you to ask for healing. Are you with me? Ask for salvation. Ask for financial support. Ask for the desire of your heart. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Are you with me? Can you remember that? A-S-K. Ask. And all these things. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all these things will be added unto you. You are indeed my disciple if you're disciplined in my word. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then, Revelation, I want to go to Revelation 3:20, and we'll close. No. There it is. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Now that is a promise. That is a promise that you want to hold on to until that last moment when the last breath of life leaves you. He's standing there, and you won't have to cross Jordan alone. And there'll be somebody waiting on the other side for you. You don't have to have a crowd crossing with you. It's just you and Jesus. You got a good thing going. Tonight I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask. We're going to take a moment. And if any of you in here have been motivated by the Holy Spirit, that there is a problem in your life or in the life of a loved one that you need to ask God about, I'm going to invite you to come up here and take a few moments. Or if you don't feel comfortable doing that, we'll just stand where we're at. But the altar's open. And if you need salvation, come up here and ask God to save you. If you need baptism, I've said it 1,000 times. See, there's water still. What hinders you from being baptized? You know, that was the only thing that I found with Philip's experience with the eunuch. Philip didn't say, see, there's water, and what hinders you, Mr. Treasure, from being baptized? The treasure said, see, there's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Remember? And then Philip took him down and baptized him. Well, there's water there anytime. That's one of the principles and disciplines of the Christian life. Wouldn't you like to really be disciplined? A disciplined Christian, a disciplined mathematician, a disciplined surgeon. Wouldn't you like to have God's word in you that you could call upon him for anything and quote the scripture to support it, knowing that he would give you the desire of your heart? Wouldn't you like that? Well, one of the ways to start is to start at the altar. And ask God. God, illuminate my mind. Reveal the vision that you have for me. You've had a vision for me since the day I was born. And I've searched for it along the way. And I've struggled. But I understand tonight for the first time in my life that this isn't a come see, come sigh type of relationship. This is a permanent relationship that requires my discipline to get the full benefit of your blessing. Do we have any music, Andrew? Let's do it. If you'll stand.